NTS Radio.
And now.
Tomorrow Radio. Who knows its nature?
You know that I am your friend. You don't have to do anything.
Stand by.
And curiosity often leads to trouble.
Make yourself free and comfortable. Loosen your clothes, move around, stretch. Stretch like a cat.
The Guardian Radio on MTS.
What a peculiar place to have a party.
Hello, it's the Guardian Radio Hour. We survived after last week's white-knuckle ride of Fat White Family on the Best Outsider Ballads. Before that, Matthew Herbert enthused about his love of rhythm. Nena Cherry took us through her rebellious jazz history, and Bobby Gillespie played his favourite cheating songs. But now it's time for something a bit different. Richard Dawson is in the studio, and he's got a bag full of vinyl dedicated to The Naked Voice. He's got Canadian Birdsong, Laos Love Ballads, did I say that right? Laos?
No idea.
Right, okay. A cappella throat freakouts, polyphonic choirs, funeral chants, Gaelic psalms. Richard, how did you know all my karaoke songs?
I've been watching.
I mean, it's not like I expected you to play a load of 90s R&B, but some of this stuff is, you know, it's pretty intense. I would say.
Well, it's, it's all folk music, so it's traditional stuff, and it's pretty, I mean, if these people heard some of the things that were on last week, they'd be shocked. So it just depends what perspective you're coming from.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, basically, I won't be able to pronounce any of these tracks. You'll have to help me out.
Oh, gold.
But here goes. Here's the first one. It's Eliza Tillett. Her bright smile haunts me still.
It's been a year since last we met. We may never meet again. I have struggled to forget, but the struggle was in vain. For her voice lives on the breeze, and from sleep when I arise, her bright smile haunts me still. And from sleep when I arise, her bright smile haunts me still.
Richard, first, can you tell me about why you decided to choose unaccompanied singing for your...
Well, because I saw the other people who were doing this show, and they seemed to be experts in the various fields and experts on scenes, and I'm an expert on nothing. So this sort of gives us a chance to talk about lots of different musics from all over without really knowing anything about anything.
Well, I'm sure that's not true, but there's definitely some brilliant stories behind some of the tracks that you've chosen today. I mean, so this Eliza Tillett, did I say that right?
I think so.
Okay, so this is from the Warner's Collection Volume 2, which was recorded in 1951. Over the course of several trips of nearly five decades from 1938 onwards, apparently. So the Warners would collect on tape some of traditional American folk songs by untrained real people in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
That's quite a mouthful, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they were sort of among the pioneers of sound recorders, along with people like Laura Bolton and Alan Lomax, and gathered amazing musics, which would... some songs which might have otherwise disappeared. And that record in particular was sort of the first album of field recordings I'd ever heard when I was maybe 20, 21. And that song, which comes right at the end of 50, 60 tracks or so, is a very moving one.
I guess some of the great things about those tracks is that they definitely had imperfections in them.
For sure. And, I think... in today's age, and not just with music, with so many things, we expect things to be polished, and it's much more interesting to me when things are a little bit ramshackle, and you can hear the saliva in somebody's throat, or something unusual going on in the mouth, maybe a missing tooth, or some blisters on their tongues. it's good
lovely
to hear those. Yeah,
just what I like to hear.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So the next track that you're going to play isn't to do with recorded artists in their bedrooms in the mountains in 1950.
Well,
it's, It's bird calls, is that right?
Yeah, but it's sort of linked to, this is a recording Laura Bolton made. She's an amazing lady who would, I think, probably be as highly regarded as Alan Lomax is, were it not for the fact she's a woman. But she did amazing work going out to remote places, and so you get these fantastic pictures of her in the kind of exploration gear, just surrounded by tribes people sort of looking at her with wonder, and she made some incredible recordings, and this is one of them, of Inuit people from Alaska.
All right.
So yeah,
let's put it on, Richard.
Okay.
So what sounds are we hearing right now?
Well, so that's a guy, Harry Gibbons, I think he's called, and he's doing the Canada Goose, and also swans, and apparently this guy could do the things so well that they would come within feet of him, which, as you can imagine, would be incredibly useful if you're hunting, which is, you know, absolutely vital to survival up in the northern wilds. I like that track. It's pretty mysterious.
I've got this vision of you just sitting at home, chilling, you know, in your lounge, just listening to some, you know, goose calls.
Yeah, and just putting that track on repeat, basically, for days. Emerging into the world, a changed boy, just addled.
Did these tracks ever, you know, would they ever make them into songs, or was that?
Well, no, I mean, not that. That's just an example of the bird calls there. But this is a great record. It's called The Inuits of Alaska and Hudson Bay, and it's got lots of songs and drumming on. It almost has like a Native American feel. There's very strong connections there. So it's a fascinating document, this one.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research on Laura Bolton, because she sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Because she was exploring in the 1930s. She wasn't, you know, it wasn't just like last week. She was, like 1930s.
Yes.
Going to remote parts of the world.
Yeah.
And doing these amazing field recordings. And she did an album of, or a compilation of Navajo songs, I think, which was one of the first kind of documents. And I guess you think of, like, you know, Native American music, you might think of panpipes or, you know, unicorns bursting through clouds. These are sort of really incredible chanting music.
I think there's a tendency with what we call world music to see it as somehow like not as art. We don't tend to think of it as of the people who are doing it as artists. We tend to think of them as, well, this is sort of like an ethnomusicological interesting, but actually people all over have brought incredible artistry, and Native American music has incredibly complex rhythms, and the passion of some of the singing is just phenomenal. Really loud singing and incredible vibrations, heavy magic, you know.
Yeah, heavy magic indeed. I like that. So from Native Americans to, I think we're going to the thing I can't pronounce now, to Southern Laos. Lao. I thought it was Lao.
I'll go with that. We'll, I have no idea.
Okay, we'll do that. So this one is Brow Cavet Woman. Can you say the title of this?
That,
okay, I'll try. Napoet, Awi Maun Siang Grai Luai. I'm sure I did everyone
did
proud
well,
of that.
I think,
yeah,
you did
great. So where did you hear about this track?
Well, it's on a Sublime Frequencies compilation. I was actually looking for another track on a really nice disc called Streets of Lhasa, but this is not that. And to be honest, I hadn't listened properly to this disc until a week ago, and then heard this voice, and I just was very drawn to it. It's lovely, sharp timbre to the singing, but then these rounded vowel sounds. It almost sounds like bubbles of colour kind of forming in the throat and projected outwards. It's very arresting.
Yeah, I really love that you can hear the birds tweeting in the background as well.
Well, it's all linked, you know. We're all, the birds know how to sing instinctively. We have to practice and learn, but they just do it without
any... They show us up, don't they?
They really do.
All right, let's hear it. It's the Brow Cavat Woman. So that was from the Ethnic Minority Music of Southern Laos on Sublime Frequencies from April 2015. So it was actually a song about a young woman calling her lover who has just returned. And it's a very remote part of Laos, apparently. Can you tell I've used Google? I've looked up. I've got some things. Yeah. I've got some knowledge.
You know more about it than I do.
Great. Excellent. I mean, when did you first become interested in the different things that you could do with the voice?
Oh, I remember listening to Michael Jackson, Bad, and then Iron Maiden, hearing the first Iron Maiden album, Paul Di'Anno, and then Bruce Dickinson, Ridiculous Operatic, sort of. And just into that, and some of the heavy metal vocalists, the death metal guys, and you know, the start of Reign in Bloods of Slayer, that's the most amazing, it's an incredible album, but Tom Araya's scream at the start, you hear that, you can never go back, you know, you can't you're changed forever. So those things open up doors, and then just getting fascinated by people talking and you know, language as well, how language is linked to the voice and is a function of the physiology of people. It's pretty overwhelming.
I love that it all leads back to metal.
Yeah,
weren't you in a metal band as well? Didn't you have a metal band?
Sort of
like
a metal punky rock band. Yeah, we were called Punks in Drublic for a while, and then we were called Bean.
Good name, solid.
Yeah, we were pretty bad. Had some classic songs, A Pie. Yeah, it was about pies.
Great.
And, what else? Dolphins. It was about little dolphins swimming around in the bloodstream.
Wow.
Like an aquatic sort of death.
Aquatic death metal. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Please bring that back.
Yeah, we'll play that later on.
Okay, excellent. Mm. That's dolphin song is the next thing coming up. No, I'm kidding. So when did you get interested in collecting stuff like this from around the world? Was it when you were working in that record shop? Was it Alt Vinyl?
Alt Vinyl. I was there for 6 years, and before that, I was in Windows. So both of those shops, just being surrounded by incredible people first and foremost, who were bringing in this music. And I think we were chatting about this the other day. You know, collecting is a really dangerous word. So I have fallen into the trap of collecting before, but nowadays I try and listen. Once you're collecting, you're not listening, I think, because you've got to be very careful, you know.
Because the collecting mentality is about volume, and as in volume of things rather
perhaps,
than
the object and the search. I mean, the search is beautiful, but you can have the search without the final kill.
you're looking your eyes then was terrifying, Rich.
So I just think collecting is it's a lovely thing, but it's to be wary of.
Okay.
You know, it's to the detriment of listening quite often.
Well, moving on to Maria Helena Ventura, I think.
Oh, that's what's next?
We've got next, yeah.
On
yeah,
the CD?
We haven't quite mastered the vinyl to CD. We'll get better. The Richard Dawson, Kate Hutch back to back thing.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be good. Or do you want to play that one next?
You know, I'm in your world.
All right. Let's go with Gaelic Arms.
Oh yeah, let's.
All right.
Okay. Is it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have got suddenly quite reflective on the Guardian Radio Hour, Richard.
I'm certainly feeling very reflective.
Yeah.
Like a big mirror man.
Yeah.
Like a, just that.
I think all you need is a really a four beat on that, and we'd be off, you know. Boom.
I was saying, you know, like we have the option. I've got a Heatsick record here. Steve Warwick, incredible electronic musician, really lovely guy, very funny. Got his record on Pan here. If we need a break from all this horror.
I think people on the chat rooms are pretty into it at the moment. We've got someone saying, Jazoo is saying, check out Kurt Schwitters, especially his Sonate mit Urlauten. He was one of the pioneers of Dada music, also sampling bird calls that is trying to reproduce them with his voice. Yeah. So, you know, they're loving it, Richard. Yeah.
Thumbs up,
absolutely
Jazoo.
Fine. So that track we just heard was Alistair Graham and Congregation, Martyrs, which is some Gaelic psalms from Lewis on Green Tracks Recordings, which is a Scottish label that's dedicated to lots of Celtic bands and fusion bands and
they released a series of traditional music of, I don't know whether how many volumes, it's certainly upwards of kind of 13, 14 of traditional recordings. It might well be a lot more than that, and really lovely sort of unadorned recordings of pretty... kind of raucous and edgy traditional music.
Would you say that was edgy?
Recording, I think, has a good edge to it. It's sort of,
in what way?
It's quite rough, you know, it distorts in places. It's nice. It's more like a black and white recording than a HD.
I mean, I'm not sure if you're a spiritual man or not, but how did you get into chilling with psalm music?
Was just through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I mean, I assume so, but...
Yeah. It's like I am religious, but my religion is people. I think everybody is a god, or has potential to make their own world, and the voice is a great... It's a great magic maker. You can shape things with your voice. So I heard about that music through my pal Rodri, who I play music with, Rodri Davis.
Shout out to Rodri.
Yeah, big guy, big man. I miss him at the minute. He moved to Swansea recently. What a jerk.
Yeah.
He gave me a CD of that music, and he'd been to perhaps Lewis, I'm not quite sure, but he'd been up in the Scottish Western Isles and had sat in on a congress kind of service where they were singing, and was a really big experience for him, I think.
Yeah.
So the religious aspects for me are like, it's more about the community, but community as a potentially kind of raising up kind of experience that can be a really religious thing. The word religion has got so tarnished now because of its associations with the patriarchal, all of these religions, you know, it's bad mongo, but the kind of the spirit of community is something which can be really magical. I think
that's interesting, because I was going to ask you about, I mean, I ask this question to a lot of people because I find it quite, you know, I find it interesting, but this idea of, if you're into spiritual music, whether it's jazz or whether it's Gaelic psalms, you know, is that, and you're not religious, is that a bit of a dilemma?
Nah, I think all music's religious. Everything is, music is religion, you know, it's whether you're talking about this choral kind of singing of all different kinds, or techno, or, you know, death metal, it's all a religious experience. It lifts you up.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I love the contrast of that. We're talking about this intensely deep moving music, and next door in the NTS studio there's a dub rave going on.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Jerk Chicken shop.
Jerk Chicken. I'm getting hungry.
We should go and join them later. The other thing about this particular type of psalm music is that, well, according to the internet, someone said about it that, you know, if you're outside the culture, if you're not religious, you can still find it an intensely moving experience.
Yeah.
Is that what you get from that particular track?
Well, with any music, you know, with you don't need to be part of that. It's like, you know, you hear Cavalli music, and they're Sufis, you know. I'm no Sufi, but people intrinsically get it. You hear Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan's voice, and you feel it. And his idea is like he's singing to get nearer to God and to bring the listener nearer to God. And I totally get it, you know. It's just, then you have to get into a debate about what God is. But so to me, God is music, but to someone else, God's like a funny little fella, or like a little kid with a bird's face, something like that.
Yeah, could be that.
A chair with a mind.
Great. I mean, yeah, I like the chair with the mind, yeah. Mind vibe, I think.
That's your religion?
Yeah. Then let's just roll with it. What about Maria Helena Ventura with a song title that I cannot pronounce for the life of me? Please have a go.
Oh, I haven't got my glasses on. It's looks like Parsnip, something like that. No, I can't read
Parsnip,
that.
Oh, Parsnip, that well-known
Let me put my specs on. Here we go, specs. They're really wonky. I sat on my, slept on my specs, I guess. No, they're, Perlin Pinchin.
Beautiful.
And this is from a Cora disc, which is, a Cora is like one of the key labels of these field recordings. And
right.
Just incredibly specific locations of folk, a Cora and ethnic folkways, which we already heard the Laura Bolton recording on. Mm. And this is mountain music from Portugal, north of Portugal. It's on a CD of a lot of bagpipe music, shepherd's music, but this is a ballad.
So this one really, really stands out
it's
among the pipes.
It's just a beautiful little tune. Her voice is gorgeous.
All right, let's hear it.
Yo comprei perlim pintin, yo por non andar sola, agora perlim pintin. Agora toma, pão toma, a fontinha de Belém.
All right. That was, thanks, Maria. Maria Helena.
Thank you, Maria.
Ventura, for that beautiful song.
Yep.
That was great. So you heard about this through the label Acora. Are they a label that you sort of just check out now and again just to see what they got going?
Well, they're still running, but they don't put vinyl out anymore. But they've been basically going since I think the late '60s, French label, and just an absolutely gargantuan catalog of the most incredible recordings. Some really. You know, and you got to think, like, at the time as well, there was no internet, people weren't traveling as much, so these records were just, I mean, must have been like dreams delivered, these sounds which people would be hearing for the first time.
Yeah.
There's one comes to mind, which is a Tibetan ritual. It's the horns, these really low, all this, and it just goes on, and then these like, it sounds like a flock of 1,000 birds comes, it's kind of, and you think, like, it's mind blowing even now, but to hear that maybe in the mid 70s, before, you know, when you never would have been able to just click on YouTube. So your core is a really incredible undertaking. It's sort of along the lines of something like the Smithsonian Archive.
Yeah, sure.
Ethnic Folkways is linked strongly to that. But yeah, Cora is particularly important. I don't like the word important to do with music, but if any label is important, it's a Cora.
I mean, it all sounds very exciting and exotic, you know, travelling. Forget discovering new countries, you know, discovering new sounds, way more exciting. But do people still go and do this? Are there intrepid field recording explorers out there still?
Well, there are, and which would bring us nicely on to the next thing, which was recorded by a guy, Ian Nagoski, and put together in Georgia, Tbilisi in Georgia. I think it's a different ball game. I mean, back in the 40s and 50s and even earlier, when people were going out, it was a much rarer thing to do. Now anybody can have very readily affordable recording equipment, but I guess there are less discoveries, less kind of surprises to be found, but I'm sure they're still out there. And you know, there's still, you know, every week I'm hearing exciting new music, whether that be from around different places in the world, or whether, you know, it's techno made in London, or the Newcastle noise scene, which is strong. I have thought about doing this show on the Newcastle noise scene, but
the next one.
We should do. Tell us some bands next week.
Who should we be? Yeah.
Oh well, in Newcastle, you got like. You got Kath and Phil Tyler, incredible folk singers. Nev Clay, who's one of the great songwriters, not really known yet outside Newcastle, but beautiful man. Habsburg Braganza, incredible composer, kind of soundtrack things. Jazzfinger, legendary noise band from there. They're not really working anymore, but now they've morphed into Mechanical Children,
who are just starting up.
Oh, it just goes on. Soviet France, you know, just incredible sound work from them. They're really amazing. I mean, yeah, I could go on and on. This Basic House label as well, Techno, Opal Tapes label, Basic House is the music. Lovely guy, Bish. Hi, Bish.
Hey, Bish. Hey, shout Bish. Out to Bish.
Yes, big shout out to Bish.
I'm sure he's listening. Or she's listening.
And the list goes on, you know, like Rob Woodcock's doing amazing things with pedals, really horrendous noise.
Right, so just, quite a lot then.
Oh, just
well, we'll do it for your next show.
Yeah, let's do it next week. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll just boot off John McIntyre.
John who?
Tortoise. And exactly, who's that? Who cares about that? So the next track is from Mountain of Tongues. It's a young dude who went to Georgia and decided that this music needed to be heard.
I think he travels quite a lot and... I don't know so much about him, but he's done a number of albums. He's worked with Mississippi Records quite a bit and put together, I believe, I might be wrong on this, but he put together the most incredible compilation of Abdulkarim Khan, who's perhaps the most beautiful singer I've really ever heard. Incredible things. But this, yeah, it was a release on Hawk and Haxwell's label from a few years ago.
Living Music Duplication Label.
It's a nice product, but very exciting music. But the polyphonic singing from this region, the kind of Caucasus region, it's really unusual, odd harmonies. And it's sung loud, which is always good, you know, bellowed. People are just shouting and tuning, basically.
Well, let's just whack it on loud then.
Okay, let's.
Please, let's do
sorry,
it.
I've sort of had too much coffee now and I can't stop rabbiting on it. Anyway, here we go.
Wow, that was the Antiskit. Help me out here, Richard.
I'm going to try it.
Antiskati Choir Trio, Adila Ali Pasha.
I think that's pretty good. I'll go with that.
Out of 10?
6.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thank you.
You're happy with 6?
I'll take it. This is Richard Dawson's, my guest on the Guardian Radio Hour, with a show dedicated to the pure voice. Is that what we're calling it? The raw voice.
The naked voice.
Thank you. Naked. I knew it was something to do with that.
Yep.
Unaccompanied singing, which is a pretty interesting topic so far, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point there might be some hand claps, so I think we're playing fast and loose with it. But the idea, it's like, it's a pretty tenuous theme, let's be honest. But the idea is there's a secret theme, which I'm not going to explain, but there's a secret theme to things... Like a magic thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, should I be worried?
No. Oh, it's okay. Good. It's a good thing.
It's going to explode in the end. I mean, I guess for people that know your music, it's perhaps not such a, you know, a crazy idea for a theme, because your own music, you do have quite operatic, experimental vocals. So I think, you know, I can definitely hear or, you know, draw some links, perhaps.
Yeah.
Can I draw it maybe from that last track?
Perhaps. I mean, I think it maybe just seems unusual. I don't think it, you know, this is kind of the voice is how people would share stories and how news was told, you know, certainly in the last hundreds of years, but probably for thousands of years, these songs will travel, stories shared. So it's probably more unusual now that, you know, in terms of if you look at the big picture, that we've got instruments and technologies now. Now is a strange time to be alive with ears.
Do you think that people are being more experimental with their voices or less so now, like in what you hear,
the music you enjoy? No idea. Cause
current music? What is this? What is this witchcraft you speak of?
I think because we can't really have any idea of what's gone on before so much. I would like to think that people are pushing things. Certainly language is changing all the time. And things like, while things get a little more homogenized and things blend, folk traditions blend in a way, in a quick way, which it has never happened before. I still don't necessarily think that's a negative thing. There's bad things about it, things lost, but maybe there's other things gained. Although what those things are, it's impossible. We're too close to it, you know. We're too close to know. We can't know anything.
I don't think that anyone comes close to the next track, though, or anyone's trying to do anything like this. I've never heard anything like it in my life.
Oh, okay. Well, it should have been Phil Minton, who's an incredible improviser and vocal explorer, but I couldn't find... I think I might have accidentally sold a CD, a donut in one hand, so it's not that. It's this guy, Makagami Koichi, with a very special CD on Tzadik, and this is, he's a big favourite of Pavarotti.
How is that connection even possible? Because when the listeners hear this tune, I think they'll think the same as me. Just how has Pavarotti, how is that link even a thing?
How has he heard it? I wonder how he's heard it. Maybe Sadek puts out a lot of classical stuff.
More like, how does he enjoy it? I mean, Pavarotti's voice is so wildly different.
This
isn't his vibe, is it?
Perhaps, but then he would be incredibly concerned with tone and timbre and how to reach different parts of himself. And he has a guy who's provided like a kind of splatter painting with lots of different techniques thrown at the wall. So I could see... You know, and there's a lot of feeling behind it, I can see that he would enjoy this, you know.
All right.
Is probably the tamest thing we'll play today, actually.
You think so?
In a way it is.
I feel like it should come with some kind of disclaimer from me.
Oh, no.
So, guys, this is Zakuro. I mean, there's experimental music and then there's those vocal pyrotechnics, right?
Yeah, he's excited about it. And he's a great... Makagami Koichi, check out his second CD on Tzadik, which is called Electric Eel, and it's an album of jaw harp, different variations of the jaw harp, an electric jaw harp and water jaw harp, all invented by Anton Bruin, who's an interesting fella.
Have you ever tried to imitate what he does? Is this what you do at home?
Yes.
Can you... Are you pretty good?
No.
7 out of 10? No.
2. Number 2. My favourite number.
It's definitely something that might take a while to master, I think. So, jumping from Zakuro to some English folk, I think.
Oh, no. Aren't we doing this one?
Oh. Oh, sorry. Oh, My Cousin, from the album Let Their Voices Be Heard.
Yeah, I like this because he sounds like a real gentleman, and it's very... it's a polar opposite to what we just had, but it's a lovely afternoon white wine spritzer sound.
Perfect.
Emotion, Zamina si pisi panela, si panela sa paisi kili, la tempa kabe kasaina.
You better tell me quickly about that, seeing as I got it so wrong.
Oh, you know, I don't know so much about it. I picked it up in Christina Records just down the road a few years ago. And it's just a really delightful album of South African gospel music, so Christian music with a kind of African influences. Pretty nice mix. And that track in particular is just lovely recording with his lovely chocolatey voice. It's like
very
velvet.
Easy on the ear, isn't
it? It's lovely.
What do you look for in a singing voice?
Nothing in particular, just that it's... hopefully that the person is putting their whole self in, but not getting in the way either, you know, just natural. And if you're natural, then you're going to be distinctive, and that's always interesting, whether you're singing in tune or whatever you're doing, or just speaking. I'm not, when you maybe detect things that are a little forced, that can be problematic, but... Oh, hello.
Hello, friends. Join us. Have you always sung like you do, or has your voice evolved over the years?
Well, you're always trying to sing better and improve. I mean, it's definitely changed. Life just wears you down, you know?
You can hear the weariness in your vocal cords.
I can't go on. for sure. I'm trying to learn things, try to shape words differently and not over-egg things so much. I was really pushing too hard sometimes when actually you just got to let things be, sing themselves, let the song be and do its work.
All right. Tenora's De Bitty.
Oh, yeah.
Who's next on the list, Richard?
It's so beautiful. It's a 1,000-year-old singing art, if not older, and... it's shepherd's music, so you hear the shepherd calling and then his flock singing back to him. It's incredible harmonies and beautiful timbre to the voices as well.
All right, traditional folk music from Sardinia. This is Cantu a Esoteras.
Ite bella quises cantu magradas cantasos oyor mios el graciosa. A mes aprile non fiori rosa colorida che tu è attraente.
The recording of that is so warm.
Oh, it's lovely, yeah.
Beautiful, really beautiful.
Yeah.
And so these were imitations of shepherd songs, is that right, what we're hearing
well,
now?
Well, they're songs, really old songs, but in the music is sort of the chorus or an imitation of the sheep, and so the call and return is the lead singer, the shepherd, calling to his flock there, and you hear them sort of baaing almost, like sheep or goats, you know.
And are you also, a fan or a purveyor of the sheep song?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is actually my only set of city clothes. I have one set.
You've left the crook at home.
Yeah, no, exactly. I like to sing a few, learn some Mike Watterson songs about sheep and some other songs, which I like to sing at gigs and whatnot.
I'm not sure how to set this up without sounding super cheesy, but maybe you could sing some of those for us now, Richard.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could try this song, which is like... I'm not sure how my voice will hold it, or even if I remember the thing, but it's a Fred Jordan song called We Shepherds Are the Best of Men, and it's very pleasant.
That sounds awesome.
Okay. We shepherds are the best of men that ever trod English ground. And when we reach an alehouse, we value not a pound. Oh, we drink our liquor freely, and we pay before we go, 'cause there's no ale on the wold where the stormy winds do blow.
A man that is a shepherd must have a valiant heart. He must not be faint-hearted, but boldly play his part. Oh, he must not be faint-hearted, be it hail or rain or snow, with no ale on the wold, where the stormy winds do blow. When I kept sheep on Blockley Hill, it made my heart to weep to see the ewes hang out their tongues and to hear the foals to bleat. So I plucked up my courage and over the hill did go to pen my sheep in the fold, where the stormy winds do blow. When I had safely penned my sheep, I turned my back in haste, and to a jovial company I briskly made my way. For drink and jovial company, oh, it is my heart's delight, while my sheep safely sleep all the fore part of the night.
Woo! Wow, that was incredible. What was that track called again?
We Shepherds Are the Best of Men, and it's I heard on a Fred Jordan record, which is on a Topic.
Excellent.
And he's Songs of a Shropshire Sheep Farmer.
Right. When did your interest in this in that kind of music start, in sort of traditional folk songs? And do you feel a sort of I know you cover a lot of them live as well.
It's very sort of last few years. Really, I don't come from a folk background or anything. And you know, like people, Kath and Phil in Newcastle, and my friend Sarah, who's in Brighton now, used to be in Newcastle, and a few others, just their singing and the kind of music they were interested in. And then just, you know, it's music. I think, can't think of many types of music I'm not interested in. I struggle a little with like big band jazz, but even that's good. I was watching Frank Sinatra on the telly the other day. I never thought I liked it, and I was like, I love this, it's great.
We can expect your next album to be a big band
swing.
Then.
Yeah.
Right, deconstructed swing.
Yeah. Much like Frank Sinatra, my career has been helped immensely by mobsters. So
there's something new about Newcastle.
You wouldn't think it necessarily, no, but anyway, we can snip that out when this goes out.
Yeah, we'll catch that in the edit, don't you worry. So from wonderful Shropshire folk music to about shepherds, to the Solomon Islands, I think.
Oh yeah,
we're ending on. I don't want the show to end. I think I could just listen to that all day.
Oh yeah, well this is so beautiful. This track is, and it could go on forever, and it does go on forever. This is it's a women's funeral chant from the Solomon Islands, and the singing is just beautiful. But the small imperfections really make it lift it up. But you can hear, this is a very special thing they captured, I think, and it's a sacred thing.
Well, a wonderful way to end the show on Guardian Radio Hour. Thank you so much for coming along, Richard.
Thanks for having us.
We're handshaking.
Handshake
now.
Doesn't translate on the radio.
Not really, but it's fine. We'll just tell everyone. All right, okay. So this is a women's funeral chant.
Yeah.
Music de Guadalcanal.
Press the button.